raisa or not. The Mishnah presents that one man and two women is aser. The Gemara explains the reason is because of nashim daita kalos, which Rashi explains means that there is a chash that has a mizana with both of them. But the truth is, however you explain it, the reason why shtei nashim is aser is because there's a chash that you'll do an aveira even with two women. And the question is that a d'oraisa question? And this might relate to a basic issue of how you define what yichud is. If you take a look at the Binas Adam, he claims, this is in Simen Chaf Zayin, and again, Os Chaf Vav, different versions, it's a little different, but he says that it is not d'oraisa. And even though there's a chash, right, there is a chash, but it's not d'oraisa. And I think, if you look at the way he presents it, is that, and others present the same idea, the Pesachei Tshuva, Sifkan Aleph quotes others who agree with this idea, and they say the pshat is because the pasuk says b'seser. In other words, yichud really means on a d'oraisa level, based off of the makor, one man and one woman alone, alone in a room. Maybe not a room, but certainly alone. Now, the other possibility, and that's why I said this might get to the very basic question of how you even define the geder of the din d'oraisa, is to say that no, the iser d'oraisa is any time there's a chashash bia, and therefore, like the Gemara says, since there here is a concern that there will be an aveira, so therefore memela, it's aser m'd'oraisa. If there's a chashash nus, that's aser. So this question also might go back to the issue we've been dealing with over the last couple of days, which is what is the makor for yichud m'd'oraisa? The more you say, like the chinuch, that it's because of a form of lo sikrevu, so then if the reality is that there's a concern, so it should be aser because of lo sikrevu. And it shouldn't really matter that there happen to be two women in the room and you're not really b'seser. Again, the more that you play up the drasha, the more you might argue, like the Chayadam, that it doesn't fit what the drasha is. Now, that too isn't so simple because it somewhat depends on what you think the drasha is. Is the word seser important? If you learn like the Pnei Yeshua, it's definitely very important. But if you learn like the Pasha Pshat, as we noted from the Rishonim, maybe it's not so important. But maybe it is. Still, seser is defining when it's mutter to be together with your mother, and it's mutter to be together b'seser with your mother, but aser with all other arayos, and if you think it's not b'seser with more than one person, so then it would be aser. So perhaps this question does get back to the ikar shaila of how you understand the source for the iser yichud midoraisa. As I said, one way or the other, the Chachmas Adam says it's not going to be aser midoraisa, and he brings a raya from the Shakla Vataria, the Gemara. What's his diuk? The diuk is that the Gemara first asks, why is two women aser? And it answers the question, Nashim Daitan Kalos. And then it asks, Minani Mili, how do we know that there's an Iser Yichud in the first place? And it answers based off of the Pasuk. So we noted that it's a little strange. Why don't we start with the most basic question, which is, how do we know that there's a source for Yichud in the first place? And then you could start asking the details. Now, it might not be the end of the world, because maybe we're just the first question's on the first line of the Mishnah, and then once we discuss it, there's an Isser, so Hakataka, where is it from? But the Chayei Adam thinks it's a good diuk, and he writes, the pshat is very simple. I'll read you just the relevant line. Uveze yesh lomar delachem lo parach metchila menani vili, desfir lei lahamakshan, debemez yichud enu elamid rabbanan. In other words, you just read the Mishnah, so, okay, you know, there's no pasuk that says you can't have yichud, at least explicitly, so presumably we start off with the assumption it's only midrabanan. But once we go ahead and we say, nashim daitan kalos, so, rak basar de mishanim nesh daitan kalos, lo mistaber lemakshan, de ikar iser yichud rabanan, lo ave le lemigzar kule hai, de sagi de ligzar yichud gamor, ishachad, in Isha Achas. So, some assumptions here. He's assuming, but this is very mistaber, that obviously the concern with two women is far more remote than with one woman. So if you think yichud is only aser midirabanan, we wouldn't go that far, which is, again, very interesting, because obviously we don't want there to be bia with arayos. So it's almost like he's assuming that yichud with two women is gzeira atu, yichud with one woman atu bia, but that's not what the Gemara says. But anyway, so if we're so far concerned, so then we have to ask, well, then it must be deraisa, and then we start asking manani bili. So, okay, I don't know if it's such a strong raya, again, especially because it sort of assumes a perspective on what the nature of two women is. And it also sort of points out that you could argue that you could even take a Sefer HaChinuch type approach and still say it's derabanan. Why? Because you're right, even though we're going to think that all of Yichud is lo sik revu and a concern, and here there is a concern, but everybody's going to agree that the concern for two women is far more remote, like the Chachmas Adam takes for granted. And that's why it's going to be derabanan. In other words, what we're saying now is that there's actually two reasons why you could say it's derabanan. One is sort of a more technical reason. It's not beseser. The second is just because even if it's deraisa, this is so far-fetched that it couldn't possibly be within the deraisa. The Chazon Ish is medayik, actually, the other way from the Lashon of the Gemara. He says, just the fact that we say menani mili on the Mishnah takes for granted that it's deraisa even with two. Meaning to say, the Gemara says two is aser. Why? Nashim daitim kalos. Then the Gemara says menani mili. Now, menani mili doesn't seem to be a question only on Shtei Nashim. Menani Mili is, what's the makor for our Mishnah? Our Mishnah answers two women, and it quotes a pasuk. So if you think that the answer to the question is, yes, it's a derash, it's a drash, a gemura from the pasuk that we quote, so then it's going on the Mishnah. Menani Mili is not a question just on that, on Yichud one-on-one, right? The reading of the Chachmas Adam is a little strange. Menani really is not going on our Mishnah. It's not going on what we just said. It's going back to, in general, right? Now that I know it's derabanan, well, what's the source for? Now I know that it's deraisa, so what's the source for deraisa? But it's not on this point. So really, the diuk of why we first asked the question, notwithstanding, and again, l'chor, you have to say we asked first. Why? Just because we're first touching up the Mishnah, and then we get to the question of what's the source. Really, from the Gemara, you could be medayik fakert. You could be medayik that it must be that yichud is aser midoraisa. Yichud with two women is aser midoraisa. So that's what the Chazon Ish says. Now, what about the question that we said? What about beseser? So, again, if you're going to argue it's deraisa, you could say this is seser. Seser doesn't have to mean one and one. But you could also play up the other point, which is, no, that what the Gemara tells you when it says nashim daitan kalos, and therefore there's a chshash here, even with two women, is that any time there's a chshash nus, that's the definition of the iser yichud min haTorah. Now that's going to lead to a chumrah in the sense that we're going to say, okay, now one man and two women is an iser deraisa potentially. It's a chumrah because like we said, the Chachmas Adam says it's only derabanan, but it might also be a kula, like we said yesterday, that any time, even if the conditions are met, if there's no concern whatsoever that there's going to be an aveira, then it won't be aser. Certainly not deraisa, and maybe not even midrabanan. You know, the example we talked about yesterday was adoption, and based off of those rishonim who say, Rabbeinu Yonah and the Tosa Rosh and the like, who say basically any time there's no chash at all, then it's mutter. In other words, just like we're going to be machmir any time there is a chash, even if it's two women, so too we should be mekel any time there's no chash, even if it's one and one. And in that sense, like we said, this really goes back to that same question that we dealt with yesterday. Now there is a question going back to just the Pashat and the Gemara, so why are two women Aser? So Rashi says, as we noted the first day when we actually read the Gemara, that the concern is that Chaverta will be also Nivala and the like. And we pointed out that according to Rashi, therefore, if there's no concern that both women will be Mizana, for some reason we know one of them is not Shaykh to be Tiznos, so then it'll be Mutter for both of them. The Ritva over here has a slightly different beer as to why Nashim Dait and Kalas and therefore it's Aser. He writes, Nashim Dait and Kalas Aleihen, Umefato Zo Al Zo Umecha. Zo, the low mechas fiadade. So l'chora, what he's saying is not that he'll be mefate her or both of them, but rather they'll be mefate each other not to tell. Meaning to say, and this is what a number of achronim are medayik from this ritva. Take a look at the footnote over there, footnote 525, that. According to the Ritva, even if there was no concern that he would be Baal Shnehem, but there's still a concern that the person, the one of the two women that didn't have Bia, will be convinced not to tell, so then there's an Isser here. Because maybe they'll talk, you know, it's true, she won't be Mizana, and she'll see what they do. Usually there's a, and we'll see in other circumstances, we'll say that when you're afraid to do an aveira in front of another person, because the other person will see and tell your secret, you'll get in trouble, you're not going to do that. But if there's a concern that you'll be able to talk her into not revealing this secret, so then the two of them will have znus, and they'll talk her into keeping their secret. So that's the pshat in the Ritva. Now, it's interesting. We have a couple of halachos that you have to figure out how they work according to Rashi and the Ritva. So the Gemara later on we'll see on Pe'al from the base, says that when you have two women that hate each other, or at least there's some type of animosity or potential animosity between them, we'll talk about the details when we get there, so you could have yichud with them even though they're two women. Like, let's say Yevamos. So two Yevamos. So there's a type of animosity between them, Yevamos meaning they could be they're sisters to brother. They're both married to two brothers, and that could lead to a situation where they would be both married to the same person through Yevam, and as we know from scripture, saros don't like each other. Or sachsivamos, whatever you want. So therefore, they hate each other, and you could have yichud with both of them. So what's the pshat? So according to the Ritva, it's very easy to understand that. Since there is this animosity, they're not going to cover up for each other. And since they're not going to cover up for each other, so then there's no concern for yichud. Because the man and the woman, we have man A, woman A, and woman B. So man and woman A will never have Bia unless they're sure woman B is going to keep their secret. And since woman A and woman B don't get along, so they'll never be confident that she's going to keep the secret, so they themselves won't have Bia. Now, according to Rashi, you could ask, what's the concern? Maybe he'll be mefata both of them, Nashim Dait and Kalos. So the answer is presumably either because they hate each other so much they'll tell, you know, Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim, or she's not going to be willing to have Bia because she wants to be able to tell and get her tzara or her yavama or whatever it is. So therefore, in this case, because of their animosity, there's still a concern that there's no concern for for Bia. But again, it's a little easier to read that if you learn like Rashi. On the other hand, we also say that Isha Vitinokas, you could have one like we said before, you could have bia with two women where one of them is, let's say, 7 years old. We'll talk about the details of that halacha, an age where she's not going to have any type of a desire for bia, but at the same time, she knows how to talk. So according to Rashi, it's very easy to understand. Why? You're not going to, woman B, in this case, she's a tinokes, you're not going to sleep with woman B. There's no concern. You're not going to be able to be mefat to her. But mimela, since you're not going to be able to sleep with both, so mimela, it's mutter, right? You're not going to be willing to sleep with woman A, because since you know you're not going to be able to sleep with woman B, your secret isn't safe, and woman B is going to talk. Whereas according to the Ritva, you could ask, okay, just because you're not going to be able to sleep with woman B, because she's 7 years old, she's not interested in that, you're not going to be able to do mefat to her, but maybe you could talk her into staying quiet, right? Because according to Ritva, what's the concern? The concern is that she's going to let out the secret. And you could be mefat to her, you could convince her, Nashim Daitan Kalos, no, keep your secret, don't talk, don't let it out, right? Well, maybe you could talk her into that as well, right? Just because she's at an age where there's no concern that she's going to have bia, doesn't mean that there's no concern that she's... So you have to say no. Part of, you know, the Ritva is going to have to concede that the ability to talk her into staying quiet somehow relates to this whole, you know, parsha of sexuality and Tashma Shamita and the culture and, you know, why you should be quiet and things like that. And since she's not yet in that parsha, she's 7 years old, she's pure and innocent, and she doesn't know about any of this stuff, so you're not going to be able to talk her into staying quiet. Not only won't you be able to talk her into actual tashmish, but you won't be able to talk her into staying quiet. Right? But again, it's a little easier to explain that halacha if you learn like Rashi. According to Rashi, it's very simple. Once you can't have tashmish, then there's no iser yichud with one of the two, then there's no iser yichud at all whatsoever. Okay. But again, that's what you have to say. In other words, for the Ritva, maybe it's not so problematic that part of the way you're going to talk her into staying quiet is because maybe she's also interested now, in the future, something like that. And therefore it's mutter. Fine. So the two potential nafkaminas are nafkaminas that we said thus far, because they're both in the Gemara. Are there any nafkaminas, though? So one nafkamina that some of the Echronim say would be like this. Let's say it's Baila Be'ir of one of the two women. In other words, she's not going to have Tashma Shamita for some other reason, like Baila Be'ir. So woman A will not have Tashma Shamita because Baila Be'ir. Woman B would. So if you learn like Rashi, it should for sure be mutter. If you learn like the Ritva, maybe it would be aser, because you can talk her into being quiet even without asking, without actually engaging in Tashma Shamita. Yeah.
Does Rashi assume the other will not be quiet unless she's had also Tashma?
That's what Rashi assumes. That's why Rashi says the reason why it's aser is because you could be mefater into having Tashma. That's what Rashi seems to assume. So that could be a nafkamina. Another nafkamina might be, there's a tshuva of Moshe about this. This is Igros Moshe, Eben HaEzer, Chelek Dalet, Simen Samach Dalet. Can you have yichud with two women that are related to each other? So Moshe has an interesting idea. He says that they wouldn't be mezana in front of each other, and therefore it's mutter. Right? Okay. Now, if you, in other words, Rav Moshe basically says, look, since Rashi says the only time it's aser, and it makes a lot of sense, the only time it's aser is when you could be mefata both, when they'll be mezana in front of, so if you have any type of relationship where you know that they're not going to be mezana in front of each other, for example, they're related and there's a certain, I guess you don't want family members to know about certain types of averis that you do, you're embarrassed, whatever it is, that's enough to be matir yichud. Now, again, Rav Moshe, clearly, he doesn't get into this point, but you see he's taking for granted Rashi's reasoning. That as long as long as you know that there's no concern that the other, that you won't be able to have bia with both, then it's mutter to have yichud with both. So he's assuming like Rashi, which I think is why, even if you're going to come up with nafkaminas between Rashi and the Ritva, I'm not 100% sure these are all nafkaminas, but we accept Rashi, lahalacha. There's another couple of nafkaminas, maybe we'll come back to later. Now, yeah.
I mentioned this yesterday, but according to both the Rashi and Ritva, it's clearly to avoid bia. So how would, if you hold it to Isser Ben Hasma, would you understand Taitu Kalos?
I assume the pshat is that it becomes an Isser Bifnei Atzmo when there's a chash bia. In other words, it would not be an Isser Bifnei Atzmo unless there's a chash bia in general in this type of situation, right? Now, once this type of situation is sometimes a chash bia, just like Lamashal, right? We don't go ahead and say you could solve each yichud shayla based off of your assessment of the situation that having tashmish is very unlikely. Rambam, Shulchan Aruch both say it's aser bein zekena bein yilada. So it's aser to have yichud with an 80-year-old lady, and nobody says, well, you know, let's think. It's not very likely that you're going to have bia with an 80-year-old lady, so it should be mutter. So either you're going to say it's a little plug, or you're going to say it's an isur d'atzmo or something like that, and you know, you could question whether that's a din d'oraisa or not. But halach l'maisa, it's certainly going to be true, right? We don't go ahead and allow and start, you know, allowing the two people to make that cheshbon. And if they decide that there's no chance that they're going to have bia, then they could have yichud. And the truth is that, you know, if that were permitted, the whole isur of yichud would fall apart. It would be effective because, you know, not whole, but you know, largely, you know, the people get into trouble not because they intend to get into trouble, but one thing leads to another. They think that, you know, it's a harmless thing to be alone with a woman because we're both adults and we both are going to stay in control of our, you know, and then, so like Rambam says. So I think that everybody's going to agree. So what LMI, what's the pshat? The pshat is that since being alone with a woman is a concern that it'll lead to bia, then anytime you have yichud, it's aser. Now, then you could say, well, what? But I said before that in situations where there's no concern, maybe it's mutter. So we'll have to return to that question. We're going to talk about that when we do adopted children a little later. But probably what you're going to have to say is that when there's a category of people that for which there's no chash bia, then we might say it's mutter. Whereas if it's not a category, it just happens to be that the guy thinks she's a particularly unattractive person, so therefore he decided that there's no iser v'yichud, so we don't allow those cheshbonos. The only time there's a tzad to make such a cheshbon is when we could say, no, this is a category of people, like you know, nashim shesono zo, or whatever it is, where there is no concern, and memela it's not bechlal the yeser. So you're going to have to say that anyway. However you say it, whether you say that it's an ichshash or an iser bifnei atzmo or the like. So I think we would say the same thing here. In other words, once we go ahead and we say because nashim daitin kalos that being in a matziv of yichud, one man and two women, is something that will sometimes lead to an aveira. Again, we're not saying every time one man is with two women, they're going to do an aveira. But it's a situation that could come to an aveira because nashim daitin kalos, whatever that means. So memela, that is always going to be aser unless we could categorize it as a situation that's not bichlal that din. And that's why I think this will be true either way. So, now Rashi, again, we're going to work on this sugya more when we get to it, because it's the Mishnah, it's the next Mishnah on Pei Beis, but Rashi says that one man and two women and three women is mutter, right? It's Rashi l'shitaso, because Rashi assumes that you're not going to be able to be boel three women, and therefore, since you can't be boel all of them, then memeidla it's mutter to have all of them. Now the question is that in this halacha, for the most part, we don't accept Rashi shita. Rashi does hold of it, and maybe when we get into the halacha, we'll see that posts can bring it up as a sniff and the like. Maybe b'shas avchak or meikel, but generally speaking, we don't accept this. Now, does that mean that we have to accept the Ritva shita? In other words, okay, so this should be a nafkamina between Rashi and the Ritva. According to the Ritva, it's going to be aser. Why? Because even though you're not going to be mezana with all three, you'll be mezana with one and talk the other two into staying quiet. So according to the Ritva, it's aser. And the Ritva takas machmir and the shayla. Not just the Ritva, the Rishonim as well, but the Ritva's machmir. We'll say the Ritva's l'shitaso, and Rashi's l'shitaso. And therefore, if we pass him like Rashi in terms of the first Mishnah, we should also pass him like Rashi in terms of the last Mishnah. Yet l'halacha, as I said, where we don't do that. Is that a problem? So Rav Moshe says, no. Rav Moshe, this is in his short Shuvos, in Os Yadalit. When you guys finish going through the Gemaras and Rishonim, and Shulchan Aruch, and Torah Beis Yosef, one thing that's kedai to do, there's a whole bunch of short Shuvos from Rav Moshe, several of them, and all very, not all, but many very Lamaisa questions. You know, they're not like the real Tshuvos of Rav Moshe, where he learns the sugya and develops it. They're more, I assume they were oral questions with quick answers, but still, it's kedai to just go through all of them. You'll see Rav Moshe's psakim, and then having gone through the sugya, you'll be able to appreciate what they're based off of. Are they big chiddush? Are they pashut? Anyway, so Rav Moshe says no. That even those who disagree with Rashi and are machmir for three women, it's not because they hold of the Ritva. He doesn't present it exactly this way, but this is what comes out. It's not because they agree with the Ritva. It's because they're choshesh that for a far-fetched situation, that Yutaka will be boel all three. That's very far-fetched. Most men can't do that. They can't have bia with three women in a row, one right after another, but, you know, it could happen. There's a myriad of men that are capable of doing that. So therefore, it could happen. And that's why they're machmir. But it's not the pshat that it's because they hold of the Ritva's pshat in Nashim Dayit and Kalos. Now, you know, one thing to think about, again, I guess we'll wait till we get there to discuss this more, would be, what about five women? One man and five women, or six women? Where do we draw the line in terms of that? Or do we say it's part of the low plug, like we said? Okay. So again, I think we'll get back to that question a little later. Let's finally go on at some point in the Gemara. We didn't get to the real Yichud Sugyas yet, so let's read on a little bit in the Gemara.
In what sense are we saying that we do Paschim like Rashi's understanding of Nashim Dayit and Kalos?
The way Rav Moshe Paschims is we totally understand, except Rashi's understanding of Nashim Dayit and Kalos, meaning the reason why Shtei Nashim is also is because it's a concern that you're going to deal with both of them. And therefore, Rav Moshe says, Lamaisa, anytime there's no concern, like we said in this example, they're related to each other, or one of them is Baila Be'ir, or something like that. There's no concern that you'll have Bia with both of them, so it's Mutter. We should take Rashi to its logical conclusion, and three women should be Mutter. So that's where Rav Moshe says, no, that's different. That's because we don't accept Rashi. We're concerned with an even more far-fetched situation that three women, you could also be boel all three women. But it's not because we fundamentally reject Rashi Shita. Okay. So the Gemara says, we read up to a Pashtei Dekra, having quoted this drasha, the Remez Licha Min HaTorah. So the Gemara says, Pashtei Dekra B'mai Ksiv. What's the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk? We noted before how it's interesting that over here, as opposed to almost all other drashas in the Gemara, we actually ask this question, which might clearly imply that this drasha is not a regular drasha. That doesn't mean necessarily it's not the Oraisa, as we explained, but that this is not a regular drasha. So So what is the Pashtei Dekra? Samar Baye, Lomi Bay Kamar, Lomi Baye, Ben Av, Desani Le, Bayetz Le Eitzos Raos. In other words, naturally a person would be suspicious of Ben Av, even though you're brothers, because you know, you always have to be very suspicious of any advice from a person who might have some interest in giving you bad advice. So Ben Av, again, your brothers, you love each other and the like, but you might know in your heart of hearts that he might be very happy to knock you out of the picture. Then he gets more Yerusha. So even Aval Elafilu Ben Aim to Lo Sanilei, there's no possible motivation to not, you know, to harm you with the Ben Aim, and therefore you should listen to his advice. Aim Atzaisi Le, Kamash Malan. Now, obviously, it's not Aim Atzaisi Le in the real Havamina, we're talking about Avodah Zarah. But the idea is, the warning that the Pasuk is giving us is that you should be very suspicious of people that give you advice, even if they have no interest, no vested interest in giving you bad advice. And presumably it's because, you know, maybe in Achanami, when the Bein Aim is trying to convince you to do Avodah Zarah, maybe it's they're acting L'shem Shemayim. They just, you know, still not good idea to listen to them. Okay. Nema mas nisin d'lo ka b'shol. So maybe our mission is not like Abishol. Why? As we'll see in a moment. Because Abishol might hold that a yichud with two women is aser. And our Mishnah says yichud with two women. Abishol says yichud with two women is mutter, and our Mishnah says yichud with two women is our Mishnah says yichud with two women is aser. This line works a lot better if you don't have the Girsa of Tosus and Arif. If you have the Girsa of Tosus and Arif, so we already have an opinion in our Mishnah who holds that one man and two women is aser. Right, if you remember, going back to the lesson of the Mishnah, so our Girsa takes for granted that everybody agrees that one man and two women is normally aser, and we have the Machlokas. What about Bizman Sheishto Imo? The Tanakam is Machmir. And Reb Shimon is Mekel with two women, Bizman Sheishto Imo. However, the Girsa of Tosfos and Arif is as follows. Lo yisyachid adam shtei nashim, aval isha achas misyachedes im shnei anashim. Okay. Reb Shimon Omer, af yishachid misyachid im shtei nashim. That's sort of the first clause of the Mishnah. So Rabbi Shimon is Mako, one man and two women. Then we have the next clause in the Mishnah, Bizman Sheishto Imo, according to that, and that according to Tosfos and the Rifskir, so the Mayu of their pshat is then everybody agrees to the Heter Rabbi Sheishto Imo, which would explain the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that takes for granted we paskin that way. And the question is, if you think that's only a Levit of Shimon, why would you paskin that way? Okay, so the Gra says, actually, according to Tosfos, I have a very good reason to pass in that way, because the Stam Mishnah later on is presuming Reb Shimon Shita, if you read this Mishnah later on like Tosfos. But one way or the other, if you learn like Tosfos in the Rif, so then Reb Shimon in our Mishnah is paskening one man and two women is mutter. Now, this isn't a pircha, but the Gemara reads much more smoothly if you learn like our Girsa. Why? Because if you don't like our Girsa, everybody in the Mishnah Aser is two women. And then the Gemara says, oh, I could find you an opinion that actually is Mekel, Avishol. And then we say, no, there's no Raya, because you could learn Avishol differently. It's not a Raya. Sounds like, though, that everybody else will, in fact, hold its Aser. Okay, so that's, again, according to Tosus, the pshat is Lema Masnis in the Tanakama of our Mishnah is also against Abishal, not just against Reb Shimon, or, you know, sort of the same thing as saying name Abishal to Reb Shimon. Okay, Detanya, Kol Shloshim Yom Yotze B'cheik, the Nikvar B'isha Achas. It's talking about when an infant dies, and the context here is that there are different ways to do the Kfura. depending on the age of the deceased child. And if it's within 30 days, which means that we presume the child's a Nephil, so we have a very simple burial, because we don't really even think the child was alive. And therefore, Yotze b'chek v'nikvar b'isha achas v'shnei anashim. Aval, lo b'ishechad v'shnei anashim. Why? Because of Yichud. Abishol omer, af b'ishechad v'shnei anashim. So the Gemara assumes that this means that Abishol's matir Yichud with two women, and the Tanakama asers. So the Gemara says, no, afilu tem Abishol, b'shas aninos tavir yitzrei. Really, Abishol usually agrees two women is aser. But b'shas aninos tavir yitzrei, he's so depressed that he has no yitzer hara, or at least not enough yitzer hara to, if two women are around, right? Doesn't sound like Abishol's makel even one-on-one. That could be because it's not totally Tavir Yitzrei, or it could be because one and one is an Isser Bifnei Atzmo. And therefore, this doesn't matter. One and two is only a Chshash. It's the Din de Rabbanan Chshash. And then he says, oh, you don't have to worry. Rabbanan Savi Lak Reb Yitzchak. Da'am Reb Yitzchak, Ma'is Onin Adam Chai Gavar Al-Chata'av, Afil V'shas Aninuso Shal Adam, Yitzram is Gavar Al-Av. This Pasuk in Eicha is teaching me that even at a time of sadness, there is still a Chshash that a person would do in Aveira. He has a different understanding of that pasuk entirely. It has nothing to do with the fact that even b'shas evel a person still sees yitzer hara. It's a different point. It's a different nekuda v'achikamar. My Yisraim al midosav v'chi gavar al chata'av di al chayim shenasati lo. A certain person shouldn't complain about or feel bad about the vicissitudes of life. Rather, his attitude should be that I have to have gratitude that I'm even alive. And, you know, am I such a perfect person? Am I gavar al chata'av that I can say that any the suffering, whatever suffering I'm experiencing, is totally undeserved? No, since everybody is chote, almost everybody is chote, so memela. They shouldn't complain about the vicissitudes of life. Now here we have again two girsos and really three interpretations of the Gemara. Rashi has two explanations and Tosis has a third. So the question is, you could either have ki ahi maisa dahi esesa, in other words, that's a story which reflects this, or virabanan, the rabbanan are now responding. Which means that they sort of accept Abishol's reading of the pasuk, and therefore they need another explanation. Now, if that's the pshat, so then we're referring to a story. What story are we referring to? So then here there's two possible stories that we might be referring to. But one explanation, which we'll, I guess we'll just focus on quickly, because I think it's an interesting nekuda, though it doesn't really have to do with Hilchos Yichud, is the following, that the Gemara is referring to a story, which is cited in the Gemar Moed Katan, in which a person, a woman lost a son, which is, of course, very tragic, and she was very sad, and she mourned excessively. If you just look, Rashi cites it briefly in the second wide line. Shekasha sal mesa yoser midai ad shemesu shiva baneha v'hiacharehem, until she lost all seven of her sons, and then she died afterwards. Machmas shenis onina al midosav. So that, what is pshat in that story? Very hard story to understand. And the Gemara there says, Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav, Kol Miskash Al Meso Yosem Yidai Al Meso Acher Hu Bocha. If a person is Miskasha too much, then they'll end up crying over another Misa, like that story illustrates. So what does it mean, crying too much, being too sad? Does this Gemara indicate that a person, when they lose a loved one, shouldn't be too sad? Go and you pay a shiva call, and you sometimes see people mamish tzavrochim, and they remain very depressed well after the shiva. Is the Gemara telling us that that is wrong? So it's very interesting. If you look at the Ramban in his Hakdama to Taras Adam, Taras Adam is, of course, a halachic work on Hilchos Avelos, but in the introduction, he has a essay, it's really a poem, on, I guess, the philosophical aspects and hashkafos of Avelos. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece. It's very much worth reading, despite the it's hard work reading. But one thing he says over there towards the beginning is V'amnam histakalti v'iskalti v'ein b'torah shlema Israel ha'avel u'mitzvah l'nechama. I've looked everywhere in the whole Torah, you know, when the Ramban says that, you could believe him. And he says that there's no place where avelos is iser, or there's a mitzvah to be misnachem, to be consoled. Lo asra al ha'meisim rak his godidus v'karcha lo tarchi kabechi. That whole poem rhymes. It's quite interesting, actually. But, right, what does he say? If the Torah did ask for certain things, and Dvarim Yedalad, excessive mourning practices that are masochistic, like Hisgodidus, Vekarcha, so those the Torah certainly prohibited. But that's it. The Torah didn't say you can't cry. The Torah said, Los Hisgodidu al Mesim. And he tells us, lo tarchi kabechi, it didn't push off crying, velo titaev hanacha, it did not, sadness seemingly is not at all prohibited. So he said, he looked throughout the entire Torah, and it didn't say anywhere that you can't cry, you can't be sad. And then the Ramban goes ahead and he proves it. Right? V'ine ha'av tamim deyim al yelad shashuim b'cha v'lo hirgia, b'sak v'efer yatzia. Who's that? Yeah, it's Yaakov for Yosef. He wasn't actually dead, which actually I think is an important point we could get to later. But what happened? He for 22 years, he refused to be consoled. Now, Yaakov was a big tzaddik, Ramban is saying, and if the Torah demanded that a person not be sad and be consoled, so he wouldn't have done that. And then he can continues, V'amelach ha'gadol asher libo kelev haryei al ha'yilud asher lo ra'a v'lo yada ha'cham yeh shachav arza v'afar be'afar. Who's that?
David
HaMelech. Right here too, it's very interesting because that wasn't avelos either, because the child actually that happened before the child died. So also, again, if we have time, I don't think we will talk about why he brings a raya from there. In fact, he makes that point. And then he brings a third example. Hinei al Amnon ve'al Avshalom asher nafsho chamaso levavo hemes yames. So this is an interesting raya as well. Even for Rishayim, like Amnon and Avshalom, David HaMelech melted, which again you might have thought would be sacrilegious or something like that. And he writes a very important line, ki ometz halev b'zeh miderech hamered. So ometz halev, to deny those natural emotions, is derech hamered, v'hamorech bo midarkei ha'odah v'atshuva. So, of course, the problem with this Ramban is, even though he told us that he looked in the whole Torah and there's no iser on not to mourn, or be saddened. But what about that Gemara in Moed Katan that we just quoted? The Gemara says that Hamiskash al Meso Yoser Midai al Mesacher Ubocha. So it's Kash and the Ramban. So first of all, what does that mean? Yoser Midai. The Nemuke Yosef over there says it means longer than the required periods. And that's the continuation of the Gemara over there. It says Ketzad Shlosha Yamin Lebechi V'Shiva Lehesped V'Shloshim Legiot Zlotisporas. Rosh Shlomo Ayasom says it means he magnifies his pain beyond what it actually is. So maybe it's not a kasha under Ramban, but I think the Iker Nekuda is the end of that Gemara, right? The Gemara says, why is all this wrong? Because iatam rachmanim yosir mimeni, right? And the Rishonim there point out that this act of crying seems to be a complaint against divine justice. And that's why it's wrong. In other words, if it's sadness, certainly if it's tshuva, as the Ramban in Tarsa Adam explains over there, then that's okay. The problem is, and that's what was wrong with what this woman did. Whether it's, she magnified her pain beyond what it was, she complained against the justice of Hashem, those things are wrong. The story in this Gemara isn't telling us that it's wrong to be sad. No, the whole Torah doesn't answer sadness. There was something about the way in which she mourned, again, even from the context of our Gemara, in terms of her denying of divine justice, that indicates it. And the truth is that the Ramban himself actually is merames to this Gemara in Dvarim over there, Yodalit Pasuk Aleph, on that Pasuk. So he says, what's the pshat? That the reason why the Torah asks excessive mourning is because we believe in the Nitzchias HaNeshama. So a person shouldn't be so sad when a person dies. So then maybe you'll say, so I shouldn't be sad at all, right? In other words, a person who is religious will say, look, why should I be sad? After all, this mace, they're going on to a better place. And there's justice. And I'm going to see them. And so why are you sad at all? So Ramban says an amazing thing. He says, Lo yasar kasav abachi, ki teva yisor liv goes repir to oavim. Very interesting that he invokes teva, that's natural. Vinidodam af b'chayim. Right? You go ahead, when you went to Eretz Yisrael, so your mother, Mistama, cried when she was saying goodbye to you. It's not that she didn't want you to go. She knew you were going to a great place. She was happy. She wanted you to go. But when two people separate for a long time and they love each other, they cry. Crying over the loss of a loved one is not because you don't believe that they're going to a better place. It's because you're going to miss them. Or, and also, like the Ramban says, it's Midarkei Atshuva. And that's what he makes his point. And we can't smach l'rabosenu be'asram l'savel al nefesh yosem midai. Ah. So he says a very important yisod, which I guess we don't have time to be marichan, but he's adding this exact nakuda, which is, if you're marich yosem midai, then that shows a lack of belief in the nitzchias haneshama, and then it's wrong. And then it's wrong. Meaning to say, avelus that's legitimate, or sadness that's legitimate, is not one that's theologically problematic. So if it's if the excessive sadness comes from a lack of belief in divine justice, or a lack of belief in the nitzchias haneshama, so then the Ramban says it's a problematic point. If it's because it's either A, natural sadness due to separation and tragic circumstances of the death, or because it's darkei hatshuva and the like, so then it's totally okay. And that's the rayos from those examples that are brought, the three examples. All right. So Be'ezras Hashem, we'll stop here. We'll pick up with the new Gemara and especially focus on Shnei Anashim and Prutzim next time. Sunday at Shir, we just have the same time but 1 hour earlier. Minchah's at 1:30, so 1:50 till 2:30 theoretically. We're going to hopefully, we'll go a little quicker once we actually could start the Gemaras. In terms of what to see, so again, you obviously one of the main issues here is the Shitas HaRambam, and you should go ahead and do on this Gemara the Rambam. See the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kalim and the like. And then you could also start looking into the post Gemara on two issues. One is Rambam Shita that two men are always answer. Where do you get it from? Obviously, you should do the stories and pay off on the Amid Aleph. And then also the issue of who's a Paritz. This very important discussion. Who's considered Putin? Somebody who owns a television, a Paritz? Can they have Yichud with two women? So this is, again, the post is going to talk a lot about this. And you can take a look at that. Look at that, and we'll discuss something. Okay. Have a good Shabbos.